This is Betty Turnell speaking for the Decatur Public Library, and our guest today is Mr. Robert H. Kramer. Well, Mr. Kramer, where did you spend your early life?
Well, I was born in North Dakota, and we lived in Canada for a few years, and then we spent quite a bit of time in Taylorville and came up here in 1947.
Was that Taylorville, Illinois?
Yes.
You got to Taylorville, to Illinois that way.
Right.
You came to Decatur in 1947.
1947, and been there ever since.
What brought you to Decatur?
Well, I had started school at Murray back in the Depression, and I could only go one semester. And after 15 years, then I came up here to Milliken to finish my degree.
Well, that must have been a bit difficult to pick up after that time.
Well, with the family and busy trying to do everything I could to make a living, it was quite a little chore, yes.
But you got your degree?
Yes.
Well, good. Well, let's see what happened from then on. I know you went into music.
Yes. I was in a music course out there, and I played with the symphony there at Milliken, played with the municipal band here in town.
Well, now, what instrument do you play?
Clarinet was my major, and I taught clarinet at Milliken and for a few years. And then I played with dance bands and one thing and another, of course, to add to the income.
You've had a wide experience in music.
Uh-huh.
Do you have any preference or any antipathy toward any kind?
Oh, I like classical music, and then the old style big band back
dance
40
bands.
Years ago.
You've already told us that you got your musical. Did you get all of your musical training at Milliken?
Well, there and I took some courses at University of Illinois and Eastern, and Murray, of course. And my main part in music was started by the teacher we had in Taylorville. Just was one of those persons that had everybody working real hard, so it was worthwhile.
So you really had an early interest in music.
Yes, uh-huh.
And was it always a clarinet?
I started on a violin, but I have a short finger. I had part of it cut off, and it wouldn't work, so we switched over
to clarinet. And that's been your love ever since.
Yes.
You were teaching full time at Milliken, or did you?
No, just a part-time basis.
While you did some of these other activities.
Well, I was at the same time. I was teaching part time and O.R. Jenna or Mount Zion, and also privately.
Were these bands that you instructed or band instruments?
I was the band teacher at O.R. Jenna, Mount Zion, Mattoon, and here in Decatur at junior high school. And at that time, we only had five teachers for music. Things have changed considerably since then.
I've often wondered if band instructors or band trainers have to know how to march, too, and make formations.
Yes, that is part of it. Of course, in junior high and grade school, you don't have too much of that. It's usually just the high school that has marching bands.
I believe you also own a music store.
Yes.
How long have you had that?
We started 22 years ago, almost 23. Thompson Kramer Music, and we were downtown on North Main between Carroll and Fields for 20 years. Then we moved out on North Oakland a couple of years ago, and it's at the corner of Harrison and Oakland.
Oh, yes. And you sell instruments and give
band instruments, and we call on schools weekly. My son and daughter are both involved with it, and my wife. my son's wife, so my son calls on the schools, and if they need something in the way of supplies or something during the week, he has it with him on the truck. Then in the fall, when they start their beginning instruments, we go out and try to fit the student to a certain mm-hmm. instrument, and then they teach during the year.
Well, I'm sure it's rewarding to see children struggling with the music and finally conquering it.
Well, it's interesting, too, to see something, a church program or whatever that's on TV, or something in person, and realize that that's an instrument that came from our place. It's a nice feeling.
So you get a thrill out of that, too.
Yes, right.
Have you had any experiences that impressed you particularly in your teaching or in your own experience, maybe as in a band or in your store or someplace?
Well, we found that the bigger the artist, the nicer person they are. That's from way back 35 years ago with the orchestra and on up to Doc Severinsen maybe a couple of years ago. Just the nicest people you get around.
They're not temperamental.
No, not in the least, no. Albert Spaulding back 35 years ago was one of the greatest violinists in the country and just such a nice person. And then Doc Severinsen was the kind of person who ran every day, jogged, mm-hmm. and sort of a health kick,
mm-hmm.
and just nice to know. And I saw him later and he remembered us, and you know, it's a kind of a thing that you wouldn't expect everybody to remember that far, because he'd been a lot of places in the meantime, but he did.
Rather inspiring too, to know that the bigger they are, the nicer they are.
That's right, yes. And then there were several other things that went on that was interesting. I was trying to think of something real quick here. Back years ago, when I was playing on the road, we were playing with the dance band, and we ran into a few celebrities there, such as, I think one time we were in between Jack Benny and Kate Smith, and we didn't know who they were. So it was at a ball where they were trying to raise some money. We didn't realize who either one of them was at that time. That was about 40 years ago, I guess, maybe.
Did you have tours?
Oh, yes.
And one-night stands?
Yes, we were all over the United
States. How did you travel?
We had a Lincoln Zephyr car, and we had a truck with two seats in it, and it held six people and all the instruments and luggage. We traveled from wherever. We just didn't have any set place. And we might be just one night in a place, or we might be 2 or 3 months.
Did you just pick up appointments as you went along? Or
well,
you had an itinerary
plan? We had an agent that took mm-hmm. care of that.
Mm-hmm.
And he let us know where to go next.
Was it rugged to travel that way?
No, not too bad. We were with a band called Tiny Hill, and he originated here in Decatur.
Huh.
That was 40 years ago or more. And he's gone now, but they just came out with a new record of his that was taken from broadcasts. And I guess I had a picture of it over there, but I don't know. And we spent several years on the road.
Mm-hmm. Were most of the musicians from Decatur? Or were there any others from Decatur?
Yes, there were several from here, and one of them's still there in town. But
you remember their names? Or?
Oh, yes. The one in town, Monty Montjoy, is still here playing. Dick Coffeen was from Blue Mound, and we just had them from everywhere, but it may get somebody from Denver or New York or whatever mm-hmm. the next time. But we had a lot of them. Mm-hmm.
And this was your sole occupation during that time?
At that time, mm-hmm. yes. You didn't have time for anything else because mm-hmm. you may have to go 300 or 400 miles in a day's time and play that night.
Did you travel all over the country?
Yes.
So you really got a cross-section of the United States.
Yes, from clear in the south, clear up through Minnesota, and well, east and west, clear across the nation.
Mm-hmm. Now, you were playing for dances?
Yes.
People dancing?
In those days.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, they had dance halls. They didn't have bars and such things as they do now to go to. Mm-hmm. It was a plain dance hall where you might be able to buy a Coke, and that's it. And it might be out in the country, and you'd think at 4 o'clock in the afternoon that nobody would show up there, and the place would be packed that night. So it was an interesting thing.
Different time.
Yes.
What do you think of the changes in music that have come about over recent times?
I'm not for them. It's not music anymore. It appeals to young people, of course. I know it has to. And they've become accustomed to it. And there are some good things about it, but for the most part, it's just, there's no basis of any kind to it. It's
no real music.
No.
Is it great? Is it because of the electronic influence, you think?
Yeah. Yeah, it's all too loud, and that one thing would be enough to keep me out of it. But it's gotten any more where you go buy a guitar and learn 3 chords and you're a musician, which is not true.
And if you're writing the words, you just learn to have a few words and repeat them.
Repeat them over and over and over and over. Well, maybe that's one way for people to remember them.
Well, but it's a little monotonous,
yes,
isn't
right.
it, to people who remember other times.
Right.
Do you see any chance of change? Let me ask
yes.
you, are there people still interested in classical music?
Oh, yes.
I know there are some. Do you think
there's
many?
There's several symphonies around the country. In fact, Decatur Milliken Symphony is coming up fast. It's just so much better each year, and it's making a name for itself. There is a National Symphony Orchestra Society, and they are working very hard because the government has cut funds back. So now raising money for orchestras has to be done by volunteers, and that's why we have a Symphony Guild here in Decatur. We try to raise enough money to keep the orchestra added to what Milliken puts into it, to keep them able to get people like Doc Severinsen and some of the ones they've had here. Had Benny Goodman, and we've had Carol Lawrence this last year.
Mm-hmm.
And we're trying to raise enough to keep them going so that they can have this and give it people in Decatur some top performers.
Because if they don't hear them, if the young people don't hear the music, they're not going be interested in it.
And of course, the ones who hear it aren't the young people. So,
mm-hmm. so it's rather frustrating.
We try to get out here in town
mm-hmm.
and have them play down at the band shell or mm-hmm. out at the shopping mall or something like that. So there would be a different kind of people that would hear them.
Well, I might ask you again, maybe you've partly answered it, if you think there is any chance of young people getting, if the young people now aren't interested in better music, when there won't be much hope, will there?
No, not unless they start in. However, the colleges always have their music schools filled up every year. So there is a...
There'll always be some who will carry it on.
And I just got the International Musician paper yesterday, and there's about 3 pages of ads asking for players, most of them string players, but then other instruments too. So there's
are these paid positions?
Oh yes, this is like the Cincinnati Symphony, Chicago Symphony, any of them.
If young people only realized it, there is employment there.
Right. I don't know. I noticed one ad. Starting salary was something like $28,500 a year, which is not a bad thing for a beginning position. And that was for a trombone player in St. Louis Symphony.
Mm-hmm.
We have a friend that plays trombone with him. And it's always something to hear. When you hear a symphony, like for instance the Chicago Symphony, you can hear a whole concert and not hear one mistake.
That's really amazing, isn't
it? Yes. At the same time, though, on TV, the background music for some of the big shows, you have the same thing, not one mistake from the orchestra. And I think, they say that if you make one mistake, you find another job real quick.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that since the movies went out, those top performers who were playing for the movies are now playing for places like the shows in Las Vegas and the shows on TV.
So they are outstanding.
They are the top players, yes, ma'am.
Isn't there a great deal of tension when you know that you can't make one mistake?
I suppose it would be, but they don't even think about it.
They're so trained.
They play so well that they just never think about making a mistake. And I guess if they do, they make a good one.
Of course, I suppose there could be differences in interpretation.
Not after rehearsal.
Yeah. You do what the conductor wants.
Yes, they have a conductor, and they have it all worked out. It's when you hear it on TV, that's been rehearsed, and once in a while you'll hear maybe somebody will come in and they'll play for their background for them, but that's seldom. Even then you don't hear a mistake. They're just top players.
If you were giving advice to a young person entering music, what would you say?
Well, get a background first thing. I know they don't like to get into a bunch of scales, chords, and things of that type, but those things will help them even in the kind of music they want to play right now. And unless they know their scales and chords, then they're going to have to almost back into what they want to play. Otherwise, they can hit it right square in the face and go from there.
Are your children musicians? I know you said they work in the store.
They both have played during high school as well.
Do you have grandchildren?
Yes.
And are they musicians coming along?
Well, they were when they were in school, then in high school, that's all. Two of them. The others aren't, three of them. The other two aren't in high school yet. I assume that they will be when they get in the fifth grade.
They'll get into, they certainly must have heard a good deal
or
been surrounded by it.
Yeah, right.
Well, it certainly sounds as if it's been a very full and rich life.
Well, I've enjoyed it. I don't know of any part of it that I would say I hated. But
you got a lot of satisfaction out of a great deal of it, I'm sure.
Oh, yes, yes. Playing with the symphony, I believe, was the most rewarding, or rather not rewarding, but just plain enjoyment.
The most fun.
Just really enjoyed it.
Being a part of a group
yes.
like that.
And you try harder there than you would, say, in a dance band.
Mm-hmm.
You just try not to make a mistake in a symphony. Just try your best not to.
And I imagine there's a great deal of companionship among musicians.
Oh, yes, yes.
Especially if you're traveling.
Right. Well, then, too, I've had quite a few of them come in since I've been here. And that's always a good feeling.
Well, it sounds as if you've had a really good life. And I thank you very much for sharing your reminiscences with us.
You're certainly welcome.
You have been listening to Mr. Robert H. Kramer, and this is Betty Turnell for the Decatur Public Library.